Kia rana, this is RNZ Pacific News. I'm Don Wiseman. China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi is due to visit Vanuatu next Wednesday as part of his Pacific tour. The Chinese embassy in Port Vila has confirmed the arrival date for bilateral talks with the government of Vanuatu. The embassy says Mr. Wang's visit in Vanuatu has nothing to do with security issues. Instead, he'll discuss five memorandums of understanding as well as other business. The embassy says the discussion points will be on tangible benefits that China can bring to the people of Vanuatu. After Port Vila, Mr. Wang is due to also visit Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Samoa and Tonga. He's currently in Solomon Islands and visits Kiribati tomorrow. And a Pacific journalist believes the Kiribati government's been coerced by Beijing to accommodate the foreign minister tomorrow. Kiribati authorities confirmed late on Tuesday that Wang Yi will briefly stop over and meet President Tanis Mamau as part of his Pacific-wide tour. Rimon says the government has been very secretive and people only learned about the trip via Facebook. Mr. Rimon says Kiribati is grappling with a COVID-19 outbreak, and with the borders closed, it's a change in practice by the government to oblige Beijing's request.
I think there has been some kind of pressure from Beijing that only until just last night, I had confirmation from a source from Beijing that before they traveled that, Kiribati was finally on the list. So I finally understood that there had been some pressures and our government had submitted to those pressures.
New Zealand's foreign minister says the security agreement that Solomon Islands is expected to sign with China is an issue for the broader region. During Mr. Wang's visit, he's expected to sign this deal in the Solomon Islands capital, Honiara. The minister, Ninaia Mahuta, says New Zealand believes the best place to discuss the potential impact of these arrangements is at the Pacific Islands Forum.
Well, we want to have a more strategic conversation around the potential of agreements like that and its impact on regional stability, regional security.
Fiji will host this year's forum meeting. That's at a date that has yet to be confirmed. All four Tongan MPs whose seats in Parliament were voided after election petitions have won stays pending appeals. The quartet includes three cabinet ministers, the Deputy Prime Minister Poasi Te, Finance Minister Te Tafu Moeki, and Sangster Solala, along with the former Prime Minister Pohiva Tuianatua. They lost their seats when accusations of bribery of voters ahead of last year's election were proven. The correspondent says now, with all the ministers able to stay, Parliament, which has been deferred twice in the past 2 weeks, is likely to sit next week. Kalafi Mawala says getting the budget passed is the critical thing for the government.
The first item on the agenda, of course, would have to be the budget, and they really want to get this approved before the 30th of June.
The Hawaii deep-set longline fishery that targets big-eye tuna will be prohibited from using wire leaders, which reduces a shark's ability to free itself from an accidental hooking. The Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council is also requiring all longline fisheries to remove trailing gear from oceanic white-tip sharks before releasing them. The council expects these measures to reduce oceanic white-tip shark catch and mortality by about 30%. Oceanic white-tipped sharks were listed as threatened under Hawaii's Endangered Species Act in 2018 and are subject to overfishing. In New Zealand, a Maori health expert says white backlash was the cause behind slow progress towards lowering the bowel screening age. The government has announced it will drop the screening age for Maori and Pacifica from 60 to 50 from July next year. Maori and Pacifica make up about 21% of those who are diagnosed with bowel cancer. But Waikato Public Health Physician Nina Scott says it should have got across the line much quicker.
We've been trying to make this happen since 2016, so that's 6 years, and it shouldn't have taken this long for something so obvious. But we're really pleased and grateful that it's finally about to happen. The hold-up was fear of white backlash was the number one factor holding this progress back.
The drop in age means 60,000 more people will be eligible for screening each year. It's hoped work on the next connections between Otago's cycle trails will begin this year. When completed, a continuous 600-kilometre network of trails will link Queenstown to Dunedin. Work to connect Lawrence to Waihola has already started. Consents have been lodged to link Cromwell to Queenstown and Wanaka and to connect the two sections of the Roxburgh Gorge Trail. Central Otago Queenstown Trail Network Trust Director Stephen Jeffrey says he's hopeful work will begin in the Roxburgh Gorge by the end of the year, with the Cromwell Queenstown Lakes links to follow. He says it will provide a huge asset to the area when complete. North Korea's state-run media has made no mention of the country's recent missile launches, despite its custom of reporting them to the public. The silence comes amid fears, or growing fears, the country may carry out a nuclear test in the near future. Correspondent Phoebe Amoroso reports.
State-run media usually reports weapons tests the day after they're conducted, but there has been silence following Wednesday's firing of three ballistic missiles. Media also didn't report three previous suspected launches this month. US and South Korean officials are warning that North Korea has completed preparations to conduct a nuclear test and could take action in the coming days. President Joe Biden said during his recent visit to Seoul that he was open to diplomacy and would meet with North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un if he was sincere and serious. But Pyongyang has made no indication that it's willing to talk.
Now to sport. The former White Ferns captain, Amy Satterthwaite, felt blindsided when told she'd lost her national cricket contract. The clean out of the White Ferns old guard in the wake of a disappointing World Cup earlier this year is building momentum. The 35-year-old all-rounder, the latest to go last week, 37-year-old wicketkeeper Katie Martin announced her retirement. Satterthwaite is the White Ferns' most capped one-day player, having played 145 internationals, and is devastated. Her international career is over.
The biggest thing for us is where this team's at now, and we're not up to where we need to be or want to be, so that's where we feel like we do have to take a slightly different direction around this and go to the future.
That was not Amy Satterthwaite. A heated argument at a Brisbane pub late last year with Warriors owner Mark Robinson has been revealed as the reason behind the sudden departure of prop Matt Lodge. Lodge was released from the final year of his contract last week with the club, saying he didn't want to be based in Auckland next season. He's reportedly to be paid out the remaining $760,000 of his contract. Warriors Chief Executive Officer Cameron George won't say what the argument was about.
I don't know whether we ever moved on from it. You know, you want to be happy, you want to be achieving what you set out to achieve, and there are a number of moving parts to it, but I have no doubt that played a big part in it as well.
And English forward David Ball has signed a two-year contract extension with the Wellington Phoenix. That's the latest in news and sport from RNZ Pacific.